As a business owner, you're always going that extra mile to pursue your passions. So you deserve partners who can help you go further with premium benefits and rewards. The American Express Business Platinum Card offers world-class business and travel benefits so you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. With the Amex Business Platinum Card, you can earn 1.5 times membership rewards points on select business purchases, and you can get complimentary access to more than 1,400 airport lounges worldwide, including the Centurion Lounge, so you can keep running your business while you're on the go. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Terms and points cap apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/Amex Business. Some people just know they could save hundreds on car insurance by checking Allstate first. Like, you should know you should check your draft stats first before you put them on your fantasy team. Or you should definitely check the expiration date on that can of bean dip you picked up at the gas station first before you dive in. Yeah, checking first is smart. So check Allstate first for a quote that could save you hundreds. You're in good hands with Allstate. Savings vary, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. See Allstate.com for details. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Happy Valentine's Day.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Rich, love you. No, adore you. Love you.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Brock, Del Tufo, what's up? TJ, my brother from another mother. Love you.
Live from The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I love this.
Earlier on the show, Prime Video TNF analyst Ryan Fitzpatrick, Basketball Hall of Famer Grant Hill. Coming up, CBS Sports NFL analyst and Super Bowl champion Jason McCourty. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's right. Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air here on this Valentine's Day Friday, getting set for a third and final hour of our show before we head into our President's Day weekend, NBA All-Star action. And then the Combine's right around the corner. The Philadelphia Eagles parade is still lit. Are they speechifying yet?
Not yet. They're still going down on whatever street that is. There's like so many people.
They're still on the route. Like, they're still
going.
Wow.
Yeah.
They're still on the route, huh? And we started the show by choosing a fantasy team of offensive player, defensive player, and a flex player, a flex individual as to who would be the all-star of this parade. Right now, I mean, I think I'm in the lead here, man. C.J. Gardner-Johnson has an unmentionable T-shirt on. Jason Kelsey's there doing who knows how. But I mean, Steven hiding our hair of Cam Jurgens yet. Come on, Cam. You're my first overall selection here. Nobody chose Jalen Hurts.
No, he's too cool.
He's too calm and collected.
He's too cool for all this.
But this is boss, though. Like, this is the way you dominate a parade. You just have a cigar in one hand and the Lombardi in the other. And a beret on your head, and you are just as cool as the other side of the pillow.
And bell bottoms.
I mean, this is pretty boss, man. That's the way you run a parade here. You don't have to be drunk and sloppy and being taken out because you're doing avocado shots.
Which I think Quinion Mitchell is the Tom Brady of this Eagles parade.
Oh, really?
I saw some tweets about it.
Oh, he needs to be
reined in.
Is that right?
Is he going to throw the trophy off of a boat?
I don't know.
Another way to dominate is be Saquon. He's your first overall selection.
He was my first pick. He's got some goggles on today. I like seeing that.
Taking a picture with a three-year-old.
Oh, yeah. She had a sign that said, "Today's my birthday."
Dude.
What the coolest guy ever.
God, I love Saquon Barkley.
Looks like the speeches are getting close to starting.
Okay. And then we'll just have to revisit next time we're on the air.
Yeah.
Next week.
Yeah. Also, a lot of the players had belts on the back because that was their whole thing. Belt to A.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. A lot of them.
Well, then maybe they also take in no contest wrestling.
Yeah.
It's all about the belts.
Like championship belts?
No, I'm talking about like leather belts.
Leather belts. I thought you meant championship belts.
No. I'm talking about like.
Well, no, someone definitely has because WWE always provides them, you know.
Yeah, they have team belts
so
now.
So definitely somebody out there has got rocking a.
Parades are the best. Belt. Parades are the best.
Some flex position players in our fantasy draft of who would dominate the parade. Nobody took Big Dom. Because I thought he was really just going to be a peacekeeper.
Yeah, Big Dom, he's not going to get wild. He's got to make sure that everything's copacetic.
Right.
You
he's
know
kind of
mean?
Like an offensive lineman during a game. Yeah. Don't want to be mentioned. Don't want to be heard. Anytime, if you are mentioned, that means there's been a penalty call.
So there's
that's
no way
wrong.
Dom would go wild right.
It's like maybe Nick Sirianni. We'll see how he speechifies.
Yep. Oh, he's drunk right now. He's definitely drunk.
You know what? No, nobody took the Philadelphia Police Department.
Oh, I didn't know they were eligible.
And the Philly Police Department, look at these cops.
They were like getting everybody going.
They huddle up.
They're calling a play.
And wait a minute. They are indeed. And then they set up for the tush push.
Oh, wow.
Look at these cops tush pushing into the crosswalk.
Is that safe?
Hey, look.
They wear guns?
Yeah, exactly.
Look at them.
We're at a point where we're trying to, you know, have community relations in the cops a little bit better. So that's how you do it.
That's how you do it.
Get the people
safety's
back
on
your side. You know?
I'm just glad, you know, nothing fired off.
Yeah, right?
Right? No pepper
that
spray
been
went
terrible.
Off.
Terrible.
Speaking of the tush push, with all due respect to us, Chris, you and I do an Overreaction Monday, and with all due respect to No Contest Wrestling, and as of yet, the Jim Jackson pod, we're all trailing What the Football with Susie and Amy in terms of aggregation, in terms of what's been picked up from our podcast this week.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Nance
had
a couple things to say. It's true. Well, Susie and Amy had Jim Nance, and this one got clanking around the old internet tubes. It was Jim's opinion of the tush push and getting it out of football.
I have a question for you about the change in the league's onside kick rule. Because there was an opportunity here where I think it was like 40 or 45 seconds or so before the Chiefs would have had the opportunity under the new rule to use an onside kick.
I missed the play. That's all I can tell you. I really missed the play. And I know what the percentages were. The percentages were almost negligible. We almost had no recoveries under the old rules. But I still like the surprise element. I want to address one other thing while we're talking rules. You talked onside kick. I'm done with the tush push. I think it needs to go away. And I know that's a big part of the arsenal for the Eagles. I think it needs to change. Now, they execute it better than anyone. So Philadelphia fans, will there be an outcry? Say, why are you penalizing us? I don't like the play.
Why?
I just don't like the play. It feels too automatic. They had a point where they settled for a field goal, first and goal at the 4. Why wouldn't you have just run the tush push? You got 4 plays to get it across. You're probably only going to need 3, maybe 2. Jalen doesn't fumble that snap. He doesn't. I mean, he's going to get a yard and a half every single time. But I don't like the play. It just doesn't feel like football to me. And maybe you could do something to phase it out a little bit and not totally penalize. Maybe it's like coaches' challenges. Maybe you get 2 a game.
Oh, interesting.
Game.
Very, you know, creative.
Yeah. Don't take it completely away, but you have that in your hip pocket. If you're going to use it, you can use it twice in a game.
That's on What the Football. Mm. Susie and Amy, and Jim had a lot to say about Super Bowl 59 in general, as a guy who's called more Mahomes games than any other human being on the planet. What do you think? That the formation, you only get to use it a handful of times a game. Because he's not wrong. If it's first and goal from the 4, why are they even running a play other than the tush push? You can run it once on first down, and then if you get the 2 yards, if you body surf your way inside the 2, then you know you're set up for one more of those.
The problem
and then
is,
you're running the risk of a third down play now? Like, what?
I guess the problem I have is that it's literally just a rule against one team, and that's
because they're so good at it.
Well, no one else really does it, and so it's kind
of. Hold on a second. Wait a minute. Didn't we see Zach Ertz? They're the ones who do it with their quarterback. But we've seen what Zach Ertz does it. Did Laporta do it? No, Mark Andrews does it for the Ravens.
Oh, he did.
Right, he gets under center.
It feels like,
then you push him.
It feels like an anti-Eagles rule, which is like kind of tough to just single out one team and make a rule against a play. You know, I guess stop it.
The Bills do it a lot. It's just that they didn't do it very well. They kept on going in the same, gap in the AFC Championship game.
Yeah.
So Would it, hold on a second. Would it be better for those who want it out if others were as good at it?
Then I think you'd have more of a conversation. But because the Eagles are so dominant, I mean, it's, what are they, 95% conversion, it feels like? Feels like anti-Eagles.
Well, and the reason why it's what Jim is saying is it's just, you know, you're, what, tush-push fatigue? You know, that you could technically, is his point, is do it three times from the four-yard line, and you're in. Because of the how good they are at it. On the flip side, that's another thing about Sirianni that he doesn't get credit for. Is he the creator of this thing? Was he the one, like, I was just, like, when was this born? Was this born, like, in the middle of the night saying, you know what we can do? We've got Kelsey, and we've got Jalen Hurts who can, or is it, was it one of those moments where he's walking through maybe the weight room and he sees what Jalen Hurts is doing on leg day and he's and a light bulb goes over his head?
Oh, I was thinking like 2 a.m., can't sleep, Australian rules football's on the deuce, and you're like, wait a second.
Nice.
Like, we could do that.
Or it's the way that I always view rodeo. Like, this came up out of sheer boredom, just people getting drunk on a porch in the middle of the plains, yeah. You know, 200 some odd years ago. let's just rope that pig.
Hey, man, that's
you
how.
You know, I don't know how it came to be.
Rich, that's how one of the greatest charitable contributions in current day history started off, with two guys watching a football field and one guy going, hey, how fast do you think I could run that?
Okay, yes, that's, you know, my 40-yard dash was born out of boredom. That is correct.
Yeah, and look where it is.
I
now,
wish it was born out of alcohol. That means I could have something to drink while waiting for our shoot to begin. Unprofessional behavior, I understand. Guilty. But I just don't know how you can legislate it out. It's just interesting that formation can only be used a certain time of game. But he also just said he doesn't like the fact that an onside kick formation, you must declare it, you only can use it a certain time of game.
I hate that too.
So now he's kind of trying to institute that for the tush push. I just don't know how. I totally understand what Jim is saying. It's boring. It's also something that could be completely used way more than it already is. It's only just a special play from inside the one. They could technically do it anywhere on the field when it's third and three and it's two down territory.
Fourth, yeah.
You could do it twice. Let's get it into that spot where it's a no-brainer. I'm just wondering, like, how far back do the Eagles consider it needs to be from the line of scrimmage to take it out of your rule, your usage?
They didn't even do
it 2.5 yards
that often during the Super Bowl. What, twice maybe?
Well, they didn't. I mean,
I know they didn't have to, but
you don't have to tush push your way. And, well, I mean, Hurts' first touchdown was a tush push.
Yeah,
was it not?
It was.
Yeah. Plus, I hate the name tush push.
No, brother, we shove. We don't.
Did I not see? I also think I saw Jalen Hurts and Saquon on Jimmy Fallon saying they don't call it that. And he refused to say what they call it. I just think that you can't call it out of the rule book. How do you do that? Or you just say you can't push another teammate. That's right. It.
That's what you say.
That's what you say.
You change the rule, right? And then that kind of legislates it out.
A teammate.
But
you cannot drag him. You cannot push him. You cannot aid your teammates' forward progress.
It's already a penalty to pull guys off a pile.
Yeah, true.
So maybe that's the fix.
That
instead
fix.
Of trying to limit the usage of it.
Yeah. But Chris, just to double what you said, Rich, why don't other teams? Like,
other teams really could do this.
It's so foolproof. This is so simple. You're at the one. It's unstoppable.
The reason why.
Everybody should be doing this.
The reason why other teams don't do it is they can't have a quarterback like Jalen Hurts, who is built like the proverbial brick you know what house from the waist down.
Yeah, what does he squat 600 pounds or whatever?
And, yeah, and you're Washington not, probably couldn't do it with Jalen Daniels.
And you're not concerned that Jalen Hurts is going to come out of this scrum like Mahomes did with his kneecap on the side of his leg years ago when he just went regular straightforward quarterback sneak. Like, who else could do it? Lamar isn't built like Jalen.
Look, Josh Allen could do it.
Allen is.
But why not use
Anthony Richardson
running back,
is.
You know?
Well, wait, well, the Ravens.
Oh, Anthony Richardson. Mark Chris, that's right. Think about that.
Doesn't Washington use Zach Ertz for it? Or am I wrong about that?
He did with the Cardinals. He had used it in the past.
So that's what you do. Yeah. And if more and more teams do it, that's how you can let. But don't you remember when your friend pushed Reggie Bush?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was illegal in college football. You're not allowed to do that.
Yeah, and they got away with it.
And now, I don't know why other teams in college football don't use it.
Yep.
Jim Nance with food for thought, everybody. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Everybody get, check out What the Football with Susie and Amy. Jim, a man of his word. He started the season with him saying, call me back to finish it up. They did. He did. Everybody should check it out where you get your podcasts. We're keeping an eye on the Philadelphia parade. The speechifying will soon begin. Jason McCourty will join us next to help us wrap up our Super Bowl 59 week before we get you to your President's Day weekend with a fun top five.
Are you looking for a voice that truly represents your values? AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens, was created to champion the needs of Americans who believe in faith, family, and freedom. Members gain access to incredible member benefits and discounts, including the award-winning AMAC magazine. From exclusive discounts on travel, insurance, everyday services, to a strong voice in Washington, the Association of Mature American Citizens is here to make a difference in your life and in our nation. Anybody at any age can join. And you'll belong to a community that stands for timeless American values. In honor of President Trump's first 100 days in office, AMAC is offering an incredible deal. Incredible. Enroll in a 5-year AMAC membership for 47% off. Normally it's $60. Join today. It's $32. That's $7 a year. Visit amac.us/mark. That's amac.us/mark. Join today. Take advantage of this special offer. That's amac.us/mark. Join AMAC and become part of a movement that stands for you, your family, and your future.
I got a riddle for you. What do yoga mats, a toothbrush, and a Hyundai have in common? I'll give you a moment. Time's up. If you guess they're all fun, well-designed, and super useful, you guessed wrong. The answer is you can order all those things on Amazon. That's right. You can now buy a Hyundai on Amazon, the same place where you order yoga mats, a toothbrush, and pretty much everything else. All from the comfort of your home. And the best part, you won't even have to break down a car-sized Amazon box after, because you'll pick up your Hyundai at the dealer. I mean, picture this. You're in your PJs, snugged in on your couch. You pull up Amazon on your phone and start the process right there. Just locate a nearby dealer, pick your color, your options, check the price, and with a few dotting of some I's and crossing of some T's, voila! Your Hyundai is ready for pickup. It's that easy. Just remember to put some real clothes on before you head over, will you? Hyundai, now available on Amazon. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Limited availability only through participating Hyundai dealers in select markets. Let's talk TurboTax, people. You might be sitting there going, wait a minute, Rich. I don't get it. It's not April. Why am I thinking about my taxes now? Why should I? Because with TurboTax, you can have an expert file for you as soon as today. You get a TurboTax expert's undivided attention when you use TurboTax, and they work on your return in real time. Once upon a time, taxes is all about waiting and wondering and worrying. That's three things any fellow football fan can relate to, right? But nowadays, it's all about a TurboTax expert giving your taxes their undivided attention, just like your fantasy league waiver wire. Experts file with 100% accuracy so you can get your best return guaranteed. Know how it's all working for you right now rather than finding out at the last second and wondering if the person who's doing it for you knows what they're doing. With TurboTax, they've got an expert who knows what they're doing all the time. Now this is taxes. Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. All right, Chris, Saquon making a late push for winning this parade, your first overall selection. We saw him pulling a three-year-old girl with a sign saying, it's my third birthday, take a picture, and he took a picture with her. This is Saquon noticing the team's ball boy in the crowd, hugging him, and saying, you need to be part of this parade.
Oh, wow.
Picked him up, put him out there, off they go.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, that's pretty dope, man.
Dude.
How can you not love that guy?
Why is that kid not with him, though?
I don't know. I mean, listen.
Ball boy makes like $50 a game or something? I don't know.
Plus, a lot goes on. I don't want to. I mean, you know, organizationally, I don't know who's in charge of making sure the ball boys are at the parade, but
no idea.
Saquon Psalm
That's
said,
dope.
Let me grab you.
That's dope.
And let's walk.
Oh, so cool. Saquon.
What the hell are the Giants thinking? I'm sorry to keep going back to the same thing.
Is it
going to
go down as like one of the worst decisions this century, maybe?
Is going to go down when you're saying, like, you know, in the future, in retrospect, as opposed to
now, as opposed to 20 years already? Yeah, in 20 years, are we going to look back and be like, wow, that was one of the dumbest moves of the last 50 years?
It already is.
Yeah.
Don't you put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby. Don't you put that on us.
You know what I mean? Like, again, I know Tom Pelissero gave a full-throated and well-reasoned and totally level-headed response of saying you have to realize what the Giants attempted to do. Saquon rebuffed them. They were then in a position of having to keep both the quarterback and the running back. They did what they had to do to get through that moment and over that hurdle. I totally understand. And then they were in a position of like, we've got to cut bait because why are we paying that position that much money when it's not going to mean anything on a team that's not that good? We've got to start from scratch. Let's do it. I get it. But as Mayock told us a couple weeks ago, you can't let your most important guy out of the building for a comp pick. You just can't do it.
Yeah.
You can't. You know, back here on the Rich Eisen Show, just talking about Saquon once again, we just showed a video on our TV-only segment on the Roku Sports Channel of him taking the ball boy of the team, noticing that there's a ball boy is behind the barrier as he's greeting fans, noticed the guy, picked him up, pulled him into the parade.
Yeah,
and I'm like, he is just one of my favorite humans. Why do the Giants let him go? All that sort of stuff. I totally get that. And you're like, it's a terrible decision. I'm like, already it is. Yes. That again, how do you do such a thing when you know what he means to so many people?
Right.
That's why I keep revisiting it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And also, Rich, for the radio audience, we say ball boy, and I think you're thinking this is like a kid.
Oh, no, yeah,
that
no,
looked like a man. And Saquon literally picked this man up and lifted him over a steel guardrail. Like, this wasn't a boy.
Yeah, ball
this
man.
This was a man.
Ball man, yeah.
You know?
I mean, he did strike me as somebody who was, you know, like a teenager, like a baby.
Yeah, like we're not talking like little kid. Like,
yeah, no. Like, and again, he's just looking at fans, dapping them up. Wait a minute. Hold on a second. You're the ball boy. I love you. Hold on. What are you doing over here? You
want
to join the parade? Lifted him
he
up.
He has a beer.
And off he goes.
It's a man, baby. That's Austin Powers. That's a man, baby.
That's a man,
that
baby.
Guy, that guy, the ball man, the ball man.
Yeah, I mean.
It's like, it's like Kramer at the net of the US
Kramer
Open.
At the US Open.
I mean, he'll never forget it. He will never forget it.
Man.
And that's why Saquon is the MVP. I'm on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. One of our favorites, Jason McCourty, back here on the program. Okay, from CBS Sports and my longtime friend from back in the day with NFL Network. Good to see you, Jason. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Good to see you as well, man. I'm listening to you guys talk about Saquon and the ball man, and I'm over here cracking up. Saquon is unbelievable. I had their game the last one, week 18, whether he was going to go for the record or not.
Right.
We talked about that. But the crazy thing that came from the meeting, Saquon's talking and was saying, hey, have you talked to any of the guys currently on the Giants? And he mentions Tyrone Tracy. And Catalan is just like our play-by-play guys, like, but you weren't on the team. How do you know Tyrone Tracy? He was like, well, when I saw he started balling and playing a lot, I just hit him up on social media just to kind of wish him luck. And we kind of just hit it off and talked about getting together in the offseason and training and all of these things. So you talk about the impact he's had on the Philadelphia Eagles. He's still helping the New York Giants by reaching out to their rookie running back this season. So somehow this guy just continues to become a better individual the more you hear about him.
Well, I mean, you could really say, Jason, that Saquon's departure gave Tracy an opportunity, so he's just still helping him. You know what I mean? trying to coach him up. And maybe he's trying to help out the guys who have been roasted.
Yeah.
For letting Saquon walk, you know, like, and that's just his DNA. It's kind of crazy, right?
I haven't been around. I feel like I'm a nice guy, but I'm competitive as hell too. And when a team lets me walk out of the door, I'm sitting there. I'm not going to outwardly wish for their downfall, but I may crack a smile in the background. And right. This dude hasn't done it at all. Even the commercial he did where everybody perceived he took a dig at the Giants, he said they shot it so many different times because he wanted to make sure it didn't come across that he was taking a shot at John Mara and the family. So this guy is just unbelievable. We saw Jalen Hurts on the sideline during the Super Bowl, the mic'd up of saying he was the missing piece and the impact that he's made on the Philadelphia Eagles.
So what's your favorite parade memory, Jason?
Man, it would be my mom came on the bus with us as well. And obviously you can see all the debauchery that goes on during the parade. And at some moment I could see it in my mom's eyes. She looked at us and was like, what the hell am I doing on this bus? I want no parts of this type of celebration. But I remember, and it kind of ties together with the Eagles, Lane Johnson had said something about it not being fun in New England. And I remember taking the phone and recording my brother and Daron Harmon, who were talking about how much fun it was. Daron had on the Brady High School jersey. And it's those moments that you always remember, just the fun. And obviously there's parts of the parade that you don't remember as much as others, as we've seen some of the clips from the Eagles as well as they're enjoying.
So are you saying Mama McCourty had a front row seat to a Gronk parade moment? Is that what you're saying?
She had a front row seat to a lot of parade moments that I think she wished she could get back.
Hey, right. Yeah, I mean, this is life in the National Football League when you win it all, you know?
No doubt. Right? No doubt about it. You get the full-on experience.
Fantastic. When you're watching Super Bowl 59, Jason, when did you know it wasn't the Chiefs' night? When did you know that?
As soon as Kendrick Lamar came on, it was just like, yo, you know what? We can just throw a concert, put on Pandora after this, and just continue to let the music just ride on out. You just watched the way, obviously, the game started. And for me, it was when the Chiefs had no answer to anything. You saw early on Patrick Mahomes trying to figure out what exactly the Eagles were going to do. And the Eagles never changed. And that was the crazy thing to me. I remember being in my Super Bowl, we played the Rams, and we kind of anticipated the second half they may try to get to this or get to that. From the first series on, they never made any adjustments to make it more challenging for the Philadelphia Eagles. So early on, I was like, oh, we got a ball game. When I saw the way Kansas City was stopping Saquon in the running game, I was just like, all right, they're going to have to find another way. But to have no answer for just a four-man rush, Fangio didn't blitz them at all. It was the same four guys coming at them every single play. And to never have an answer, no max protection to get guys open, nothing. Andy Reid's one of the greatest coaches we've ever seen in this game, and he couldn't figure out a way to do anything until the game was well to being over.
Well, what's the secret sauce here, Jason? And again, I know week 18 didn't mean anything for the Eagles in terms of seeding, in terms of making the playoffs, in terms of just staying healthy and making sure everyone would be ready for their opening round game the next week in Philadelphia. But being around the team, talking to Sirianni, take me behind the scenes here of what you know it takes to have a championship unit and what you saw from Philadelphia, Jason.
It's so funny because with Nick Sirianni early in the season, it felt like week after week in sports media, we were all trying to fire him and you were all calling for, he's not the guy, he's the clown and all these different things. And I'd never gotten a chance to sit down and talk with him. So I had them twice this year, their game against Jacksonville and then that game against the Giants at the end of the season. And the one thing I was able to see is how much the guys in that locker room just love being around one another. We spoke to C.J. Gardner-Johnson earlier in the year, and we asked him about Nick Sirianni. And he talked about how crazy Sirianni is. The one thing they know is that he loves them as players, and they love playing for him. And you think about, you fast forward to the Commanders game late in the season, C.J. Gardner-Johnson and gets thrown out in that game. And he talked about how bad he felt and wanting to come back for Sirianni and for the guys. You think about in that game, Sirianni and Jalen Carter get into it on the sideline and are able to patch things up and move forward. The difference to me about this Philadelphia Eagles team was their ability to overcome adversity. And that's a complete 180 from what we saw last year with this team that was 10-1, hit some adversity and then just went completely in the tank. And that, I think, is the difference of adding certain guys. You add a Saquon Barkley, even a Mekhi Becton for that standpoint, a guy that early in his career had only been through adversity. So you have guys in your locker room that now can talk to you about the other side when things aren't going well. So I think it was an extremely close-knit group. And then at the end of the day, they were talented as hell. They were the best team on paper in the NFL. And the second part was it. You just had to put it together and get guys to believe. And that's what they were able to do.
Jason McCourty, CBS Sports and ESPN. And so back in the day at NFL Network here on the Rich Eisen show right now, the team that, you know, it's a copycat league and you know, everybody sees a blueprint. Certainly if the blueprint is successful against a franchise like Mahomes and the Chiefs, which team do you think is closest right now to being able to blueprint it up like the Eagles and take care of business in the AFC against the Chiefs, Jason?
I mean, in the AFC, you're looking at, obviously, Baltimore Ravens and the Buffalo Bills. But then I think the team that we see is the Cincinnati Bengals. We've watched Joe Burrow make his ploy to management of saying, hey, we watched the Eagles build a team. We watched contracts being restructured. He gave them the whole blueprint on how to do it. And then it comes at a point where T. Higgins is a free agent. Jamar Chase is going to be up in another year. And he's trying to employ them to say, you know what? Go ahead and sign all of these guys. Keep our offense together. And we have a chance to do exactly what the Eagles have done. The flip side of that, the other part is that you got to hit in the draft. And that's what Howie Roseman has done such a great job. They are paying their offensive line, two wide receivers, a running back, their quarterback. They're paying everybody over there. But you look at defensively, when you drafted Jalen Carter, Jordan Davis, and Nolan Smith, two cornerbacks that played the entire game in the Super Bowl, that gives you a chance to still be good. So for the Bengals, you've missed on a lot of those defensive playmakers after you drafted Joe Burrow. Can they sign these guys on the offense and start to hit on the defense and maybe get some free agents, some veteran guys that want to maybe take a little bit less to get an opportunity to play with Joe Burrow?
And where do you stand on the Chiefs, Jason? You know, so many in our business went from this could be the greatest dynasty ever to, man, do they need a lot of help? I mean, in four quarters, it went south that fast for a lot of people in terms of their analysis. Where do you stand on the Chiefs? No,
I'm still high on the Chiefs. And I look at this team. This team wasn't supposed to be in the Super Bowl. When you look at how the roster was constructed, they had a left tackle issue the entire season. They threw Joe Tooney in there at that spot, but that weakened their interior offensive line. You also look at the fact that Rashee Rice was hurt and he didn't play the majority of the season. Hollywood Brown started out on the sideline, not playing majority of the season. Isaiah Pacheco, who had been an integral part of this offense in the Super Bowl runs that they've had, he was injured through majority of the season. So for them to get back to the Super Bowl and have an opportunity of beat the Buffalo Bills and be able to get there, to me, was impressive. Now, when you lose a Super Bowl the way that they lost that Super Bowl, then you deserve to kind of kick them down and throw dirt and flip everything on them, because you expect to see more out of a team when we're talking about one of the greatest, or if not the greatest team. If you're going to put them in that sentence and in that category, then you don't expect it to be 34-0. You expect Mahomes to have an answer. You expect Kelce to make a big play in this game to get them going. You expect Steve Spagnuolo to come up with a defense for an unblocked guy to force a fumble on Jalen Hurts, and they didn't do that. So I understand why everybody flipped on them so fast. But you'd be insane to think with Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes still there that next year they're not able to retool. They're not able to possibly get a left tackle or Ronnie Stanley or somebody like that to be able to come in and help them. And there's going to be guys that want to still go play with Patrick Mahomes.
Jason McCourty here on the Rich Eisen Show. Where do you think the best fit for Aaron Rodgers is? Because I'm going to hit you on a few subject matters that'll be at the top of mind over the next few weeks. Is it another team, or you think it would behoove him to just say, we're done now? What do you think?
I honestly think it's retirement. And a lot of it has to do, if you're Aaron Rodgers, what are you still playing for? It would have to only be an opportunity to go out there and compete and win a Super Bowl. And I don't know that there's a team out there right now that you could say it makes sense that they go out and get Aaron Rodgers and now they're that much closer to winning a Super Bowl. A lot of people have mentioned the Pittsburgh Steelers. I don't see them as a step away, and there's nothing against Aaron Rodgers or do we feel like if they get Rodgers, they're representing the AFC and they're beating the Chiefs, the Bills, or the Ravens, or the Bengals, if not for that matter, to be able to get there and represent the AFC in the Super Bowl? Other teams, I've mentioned him as a bridge quarterback. And I feel like that's so disrespectful to refer to Aaron Rodgers as a bridge quarterback. So I don't know at this point for him in his career, do you say, you know what, I want to go ahead and put it out on the line and go through everything you go through as a professional football player to continue to play when he's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. I've seen some crazy scenarios that people have talked about that, who knows, in the sense that the 49ers aren't able to get something done with Brock Purdy, or the Rams move on from Matthew Stafford and there's a trade or something that happens. Would McVay or Shanahan be willing to go out and get a guy like Aaron Rodgers and feel like he can help with teams that are already a little bit more complete, especially the LA Rams? That's a little bit intriguing, but do I see those things happening? No.
Yeah, I you know, in terms of calling Rodgers a bridge quarterback, I know that is beneath his resume, but when Brady was a free agent, and it was the Bucs or the Chargers, I remember you know, all this happening during COVID. I remember sitting, to be honest with you, on NFL Network in a hermetically sealed little room because it was COVID and it's stunk of cleaning products because they basically bombed the room and I was the only one allowed in there, and it felt like just a crazy time. And Brady becomes the new box quarterback instead of the Chargers. And the honest answer was, you know, guess what? He is a bridge quarterback. You know what I mean? Like, he's the greatest bridge quarterback in the history, but how long do you expect him to play? And as we know, it was damn near another 5 years. But still then, that's what you got to wonder with Rodgers. Anybody that takes him, you know, you've got to, the minute he takes a snap for you, you got to figure out who's next. And even the Jets kind of knew that too. And the fact that they're back to square one right now with no heir apparent is kind of something that maybe you do leave on the plate of the previous administration. Like, you didn't think about this. You know what I mean? Like, so I understand you saying it's beneath to call him a bridge quarterback, but that's basically what he is. Whoever gets him is going to only get him for a year or two. That's about it. You know?
Yeah, for sure. And I think the part of it, though, that's missing is for the Jets, you're okay with where you are now if it resulted in more than 6 wins. That's the biggest thing. To your point, Brady was a bridge quarterback for what was to come in Tampa Bay. And when Brady walked out the door, they didn't know what the heck they were going to do. You sign Baker Mayfield, you have Kyle Trask, and Baker comes in there and just outperforms anything of the expectations that they thought he was going to do. But you're okay with that scenario because you hoisted a Lombardi trophy. I think that's the biggest part. So for Rodgers to come to be the Jets, and to your point, yes, a bridge quarterback, but you don't get any of the success in between that you anticipated that took your organization to another level. That to me is the fail part. So for the next organization, whether it's the Steelers or the Titans or Raiders, whoever you want to mention, Browns at that point, do you feel like when you get this bridge quarterback, because it's more than that with Rodgers, because he comes with so much, everything that he does off the field, who he is as a person, is it worth the squeeze? Are you going to get enough payback that you at least feel like your organization is in a better situation when they leave?
Were you around the Browns much this year, Jason?
I had them for a game, yeah. Okay. And they played the Miami Dolphins late in the season.
Any sense that Myles Garrett was chafing at all?
You could see the frustration. We talked to him after he had mentioned and talked about the fact that they don't have a quarterback, and he did want to have conversations with them about the future. And I was there in 2017 when Myles got drafted, when we went 0-16 his rookie year. So you talk about, and you fast forward, and there have been some highs and some playoff appearances. But for him, you probably start to look at your career, because he walks in the door and Joe Thomas, that was his last year of playing in the National Football League when he left with an injury against the Tennessee Titans. But Miles played in practice against Joe Thomas every single day. And you're watching one of the greatest left tackles play this game who never got a chance to play in a playoff game. So I think for Miles, and he hasn't said this, but this has to be on his mind, because I remember getting there looking at Joe T and thinking that, like, damn, this guy, as good as he is, all the plays, the consistency, a first battle Hall of Famer, the fact that he will not get an opportunity to compete and play in those meaningful games late in the season, hell, it hurts me. So I think for Miles, as your career is going on for him and you're a defensive player of the year and you're just continuing to compile accolade after accolade and you feel like you're getting further away from a championship, you got to say something or do something. So I look at this, if you're the Cleveland Browns, it's so hard to let Miles walk out the door. But at the same time, if he's not going to be happy, if he's not going to be carrying the culture forward because he doesn't want to be there, you have to make a move and do something.
Yeah. And especially since it you could probably get two ones, one this year, one next year. You could kind of replenish what you lost in the Deshaun Watson trade, even though that you've already kind of paid that whirlwind, you know, right now. I mean, you've already done that, but you can get that back, and then I just don't know if you fall in love with a quarterback enough, you take that kid second overall and you start from scratch, which is why Miles wants out, is what it seems like to me, you know?
Exactly. There's no, you don't see the end. And to your point, the Deshaun Watson failure, that was it. Like, that was the last ditch effort. And you kind of, I guess you can give him credit for swinging and seeing if it was going to work. But the fact that it hasn't, you don't have another opportunity. And for the Browns, you look at it as, if you don't have an opportunity to get there right now, get those first round draft picks for Miles. Even if you don't get a quarterback right now, you start to build a really good roster of good players. So that way, when you are in a position to get a quarterback, you already have a situation and environment for him to walk into, similar to what we watched Bo Nix do this year, where the Broncos were playing really good defense. They were trying to run the ball, quick passing game, and doing things to get him comfortable, where later on in the season, he was able to kind of break out, and we saw more of what he could become. But giving a quarterback that good foundation to build around is the biggest thing.
You're the man, Jason. Thanks for doing this. Greatly appreciate it. I know you're at the end of a long season too, and thanks for the time. Look for more of my calls and Zooms as we get set for the rest of all 32 or the other 31, trying to get to where the Eagles are right now, which is drunk and happy. So thanks for the time. Appreciate it.
Anytime, man. Appreciate you, Rich.
And send my best to your mom, who I'm sure is still dealing with the after effects years later.
Will do.
You got it. It's Jason McCourty right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Fun. Here's a riddle for you. What a yoga mat, a toothbrush, and a Hyundai have in common. I'll give you a moment. All right. They're all fun, well-designed, and super useful, but you guessed wrong. The answer is you can order all those things on Amazon. And the best part, you don't have to break down a car-size Amazon box after, because you pick up your Hyundai at the dealer. Hyundai is now available on Amazon. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Limited availability. Pick up through a participating Hyundai dealer in select markets. Fun top five when we come back. I guarantee that. I guarantee it's freshness and fun aspect. And I also guarantee, here's Rich Ackerman with a news update right now. As a business owner, you're always going that extra mile to pursue your passions. So you deserve partners who can help you go further with premium benefits and rewards. The American Express Business Platinum Card offers world-class business and travel benefits so you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. With the Amex Business Platinum Card, you can earn 1.5 times membership rewards points on select business purchases, and you can get complimentary access to more than 1,400 airport lounges worldwide, including the Centurion Lounge, so you can keep running your business while you're on the go. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Terms and points cap apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/Amex Business.
No one knows music like Rolling Stone. Senior writer Brian Hyatt talks the biggest music news from the biggest stars.
Almost everyone is teaming up on Drake. It's like Drake versus the world.
Yeah.
You first met Prince, you were driving for him before you were drumming for him.
That's correct.
Stevie Wonder!
You kind of have to understand how Stevie began.
White radio. That's where the money was. That's where it still is. You know what I'm saying?
Rolling Stone Music Now. Follow and listen on your favorite platform.
True or false, Bill Pullman, when promoting Independence Day in South America, some people actually thought you were the real president of the United States. Is that true or false?
Well, I
Yeah, I think that they hadn't seen the movie yet. And they were told that I was the president of the United States.
Uh-huh.
You know, if you lose the word in the movie, mm-hmm. you know, or those words, it just becomes you're the president of the United States. And it kicked in some really interesting things. And probably the most bizarre was they had kind of cigarette girls that were with little pillbox hats sure. And short skirts mm-hmm. and everything. And they walked down the red carpet with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I got that because I didn't know that presidents get that. I thought, that's a good deal. And I think it was because they thought I was the president. I don't know, maybe. But yeah, there was that feeling. It was a good period. And then after people saw the movie, they realized, right. you're not the real president.
Is it true that scene with you with the bullhorn and rallying the troops to fight the aliens, that was one take, one and done?
No, that's not true.
That's yeah, not true.
Not true. Yeah. I never heard that.
That's
that,
a true thing.
That's out there.
Is that exactly what we were talking
yeah,
about?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, Bill. We've heard that you were just so into it and everyone was just so caught up in the moment of the speech that it was one take and they just had to reshoot kind of people's reactions.
Oh, man. Well, we did have to go fast. And it was late in the, it was early morning when we did it, you know, it was like 3 or 4 in the morning or something.
Yeah.
But, you know, with, when you're dealing with a director like Roland Emmerich, you got masters, you got, you know, all that. I think what was really improvisational about it was kept, you know, and I realized that they probably used those early takes because like when the microphone didn't work and I had to kind of tap it uh-huh. and everything, that was kind of real.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was all, you know, happening. But I think I had a few whacks at it. You know, you have to be ready to sustain. I love the mythology of I did it in one take.
Yes, sir. Well, I like to refer to it as one take Richie. That's the way I refer to myself sometimes on this show. Right, why yeah. not? So that is the mythology of it, I guess. And so for is it also true that you're asked as Bill Pullman to be the president of the United States again and that voice and just do all sorts of crazy stuff? Is that true as
it's,
well? You're
yeah.
asked to that all the time.
It's, there's just, it's somehow buried in people. But then you realize maybe they want me to go, I don't need to do that. But do you know the speech? And then they'll perform the whole speech for you.
Is that right?
Yeah. I've had that probably 10 times, you know, where I've actually said, do you know? I had some inkling, you know. And yeah, I had to do it for my, and they were hoping that I would get to see him do it, you mm-hmm. know, which is, I'd like that better than me having to, you want me to do the speech
yes,
now?
Yes, because it's that good.
Am I a dog with a bone?
One of the many presidents of the United States in a movie here to appear on The Rich Eisen Show over the years, and that is going to be the genesis of a top five you're about to give us, Chris.
It is.
Since it's being
fun.
President's Day weekend
be fun.
Right here in America. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, Hyundai wants to let you know that if you're driving along and singing along to that catchy tune and suddenly it distracts you from that truck drifting your lane or this lane-splitting biker creeping up beside you, guess what? The fortunate aspect is every Hyundai offers advanced safety features that can alert you to potential dangers around you. And that's why Hyundai has over 120 IIHS top safety awards since 2006, because Hyundai is always working to ensure the road doesn't get you. Hyundai vehicles have won over 120 IIHS top safety awards from 06 to 2024. Listen, in this sports loving nation that we live in, we have national holidays essentially built around sports, or sports built around the national holidays, right? You take a look at Martin Luther King Day for the NBA. You take a look at Labor Day weekend with college football. You take a look now, Thanksgiving Day and Christmas,
yep.
right? Just to name several. There are people who think that this weekend will be the future home of the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So Monday's President's Day will be the day off. Everybody says there should be a national holiday after Super Sunday so all the partiers can just chill out and not have to go to work the next day, right? And all I have to say about that is please do that for various reasons, one of which is President's Day, worst sports holiday there is.
There isn't anything.
NBA is off. NFL just ended. Yeah. Baseball pitchers and catchers haven't even reported. It's just like, it's the worst of the worst. So we need to get President's Day up to speed. You know what I'm saying?
I hear what you're saying.
I mean, July 4th has got people eating hot dogs, but baseball's going down, right? I mean, you got that?
Yeah. All right. Memorial Day, it's Indy 500, right?
So let's, for the moment, before the Super Bowl does actually hit this weekend, and I know the NBA All-Star Game is on the weekend, but Monday's got, we got nothing going on. You got a top five list, Chris? What do we have right now?
I got a top five. This is, do we play my animation first, or are we just going to get
it? Say what it is, and then we get to the animation.
This is in-studio guests that we've had who have been presidents in TV or film. Top five. Hit it.
High five. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Brockmans.
Top five.
Oh, gosh. That's terrible. That's freaky. That's absolutely freaky. So your top five.
In studio show guests who have been presidents.
In movies.
In movies or TV. Top five.
Okay, go for it. What do you got?
All right, here we go. Curious, presidential music?
No, no, no. Just give us whatever music you got. Whatever, go for it. Whatever. What do you got?
All right, number five. His title in this movie is just the U.S. president.
Not a name. Okay.
Billy Bob Thornton in Love Actually.
He was the president in Love Actually?
He plays such a dirtbag in this movie. It's such a quick kind of cameo, if you remember. He goes to visit Hugh Grant. Hugh Grant's character in London, and he tries to hit on his assistant that he ends up getting with.
By the way, super fast. Especially here on Valentine's Day as well. Yeah. Just Jason Kelsey and Kylie Kelsey going back and forth about how horrible the people are in Love Actually, and women love it. Susie can't get enough of Love Actually.
Love that movie. Watch it every year.
People act so horribly in this movie. Terrible.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
All right, Chris, what else?
Billy Bob Thornton in Love Actually.
Okay. Number five.
Number four. We played one of his clips earlier. Morgan Freeman was President Beck in Deep Impact.
Okay. Deep Impact.
Deep Impact. President. Morgan Freeman.
Okay.
He saves the world from whatever happened in that movie.
Number three.
Yes. Mike Del Tufo has a cool autograph of this person. Michael Douglas played President Andrew Shepard in The American President.
That's right.
He's great in that movie.
Yeah.
He's great.
So he's number three on your list.
Number three on our list. Number three. Number two. And he's forever my president, Rich. Dennis Haysbert was President Palmer in 24. Rest in peace.
Yeah, that's right.
President Palmer. Spoiler alert.
We spoke more about him being Pedro Serrano than the president when he was here.
We did, but he was great on that. He was great on 24 as a president. And number one, you just saw him. President Whitmore and Independence Day, the great
Bill Pullman.
Bill Pullman. Saves the world.
Telling stories
that
when they were on their worldwide tour for the movie, people in Brazil thought he was the actual
literally
American
thought
president.
He was the real president.
Look at Bill Pullman here.
Looks presidential right there.
Yes, he does.
All right.
I think we need one more.
Oh. All right, we've got one more.
One more. And
we really have had six guests here on this show who have been presidents in movies and TV.
We've actually had seven. Aaron Eckhart, apologies to him. He got left off.
He doesn't make the list.
Olympus has fallen. He was the president. He got left off. Even got a sequel.
Okay.
No. This is going on because it's kind of germane to what's happening right now in our country. The president in Idiocracy, if you remember, President Camacho Terry Crews.
Get you a beer.
Was President Camacho in Idiocracy.
That would have been my number one.
Is that number one for you? Huh?
Yeah. Well, it's like life imitating art today.
One of the things that we talked about, we didn't talk about Idiocracy with Terry when he's here, but one of the things we did talk about was Antoine Fuqua.
Yeah.
Seeing him all jacked up and being a guy who would just come to set because he was trying to learn the ropes in town and he knew that there was a movie, a training day. And he put him in the scene and the famous Denzel Washington scene at the end of the movie, you could see Terry Crews standing right there. Before he was the president of the United States.
So we've had seven TV, movie, film, presidents.
And we had Martin Sheen on a Zoom once.
Martin Sheen on a Zoom.
Make it eight.
That's right, eight.
Impressive.
Happy President's Day weekend, everybody. For those listening, we will chat again on Tuesday. Tuesday, we're taking a 3-day break here on the Rich Eisen Show, but on Roku, right back.
The Bigger Pockets Podcast Network is your home, get it? For real estate investing.
I am very tired of people saying that your primary residence is not an investment.
Get real talk from real estate pros about investing strategies that work.
I bought a house for $1 and it makes me $1 million.
You can become a real estate millionaire over the course of like 5 or 6 years.
No one needs a stock. No one needs cryptocurrency. They need a house.
Bigger Pockets. Follow and listen on your favorite platform.